Great. Great, thank you guys so much. It's great to be in Los Angeles with you this morning. And I have 20 minutes, so I'm gonna try and break it down. The work ahead, mastering the digital future of this industry. And this is something we see in the headlines every single day. You can rip it from any business page headline, even on the front page of the LA Times, San Francisco Chronicle. I live up north in Silicon Valley. Will a robot take your job? This is from the BBC. You can type in, I am a marketing executive, I'm a salesperson, I'm a waitress or a waiter. You can even type in, I am a CEO, and it will tell you the probability of a robot doing your job. And I love the irony of this because now, it's 2017, a robot will now tell you the likelihood of a robot doing your job. So this is where we're at. This is real. AI is out of the lab, it's here, and the question is, what are we gonna do about it? And anything you read, it sort of generates these mixed emotions. You know, on the one side of the ledger, it's all about the technical excitement. What's the art of the possible? What can we do? How can we reshape, you know, our work, the future of our work? And on the other side of this, it also generates a lot of fear, right? Will it lead to layoffs? What about the structure of the company and our known business processes? And what happens to the industries of the future? And, you know, a lot of times just in economic discussions, is this sort of a capitalist dream or, you know, a labor nightmare? And what about this industry? You know, what's happening today? You know, today you think maybe, well, I work for a movie studio or I'm adjacent to a movie studio or a network. And, you know, tomorrow does your industry become part of a telco or a Silicon Valley company like Amazon or Netflix, or perhaps a company in China like Alibaba, a war chest of money all over the place. So these are the questions that we're looking at. And the answers we think out of my group, the Center for the Future of Work, is this notion of what's my work ahead? What's your work ahead? If you have children who are in junior high school, you know, going up into college, what are they going to do in the future? So one of the things that we did as a part of that study, the work ahead, we interviewed 2,000 executives at or near the C-suite of global companies. And one of the things that was very apparent to us is that digital, as we know it, is now moving from toys to tools. So we all got in the memo about, you know, Uber and Netflix is pretty cool and, you know, chatting with our friends on Facebook or Snapchat. But what's happening in the work that matters in the heart of big businesses? So, you know, whether you're a government or a life sciences company, a healthcare provider, how is it changing that work and work process in the heart of the business? I mean, you all probably have seen this in one way, shape, or form in your career. If your company has grown by merger or acquisition, you've got systems that are all kludged together. How do we take digital and really turn it loose? And by the way, you see Handy Manny up there. The image on the right is a prototype of a Scandinavian chainsaw that is attached to a drone. So watch out for this one. You know, much like we talked about before, the technological dystopia hopefully doesn't come in the form of tools like that. So when we think about processes, it's kind of hard to see in the back, so forgive me, but you think about, you know, so much of the digital story has been about how do we attack the customers at the front end, the digital front office. But in most businesses, in the middle office and the back office, how do we bring all of that stuff together, again, like Amazon, like Netflix, like Uber, where they basically made the platform become the process. And so that's what we're up against in our businesses. And we think if we do that right, it will release a tremendous amount of value. What you see here is, again, 2,000 companies, C-suite interviews. What we saw is that digital impacted revenue, digital impact on revenue more than doubled over a 36-month period in time. So about 4.5% of revenue was coming from digital in 2015, slated to go to 11.4 on average. This is all industries globally. Media and entertainment will be substantially higher than that. If you boil that down and say, okay, what's the impact of that on the global economy? We worked with Nouriel Roubini in Manhattan, who is a renowned macroeconomist. The global impact on global GDP of digital is about $20 trillion over that three-year period. So if you think about the GDP of the United States, it's roughly $19 trillion, give or take. So digital, if it was kind of like the Republic of Digital coming down out of outer space, is a net add of about $20 trillion to the pie. So this is a story of wealth creation. This is a story of changing work and changing industries, and your work ahead is a part of that. So here's another way to think about, you know, when you go back to work on Monday, you know, future of work on Monday. So far, a lot of folks have gotten the memo about how we might use software like robotic process automation, RPA. Some of you have probably been experimenting with that for a while. And there's lots of inefficiencies at all of the gaps in your systems. And so you can think about it like Pac-Man, just chewing through every single one of those sort of swivel chair, rote and repetitive processes in the back end of the company. And what you can do is really harvest that savings and double down on digital transformation. And so we're seeing that play out as a strategy for lots of forward-leaning companies today. So that's just one part of the story. But again, going back to the headlines, robots, machine learning, AI, you know, 3D printing, IoT, there's lots of buzzwords out there. But effectively, they're pointing to the same theme in the long game, that processes as we know them are becoming digital, instrumented, and increasingly operated by smart machines and code, not to replace humans like a sci-fi dystopia, but to augment humans in the work that they do. So here's a really useful way of kind of breaking down some of that. Okay, you know, this is like, how do I use the ML and the natural language processing and artificial intelligence? We think it lays on a continuum of three buckets: systems that do, systems that think, and systems that learn. And all of those cognitive technologies sort of break down under those three buckets. And then all of the business processes examples are here, sort of fit underneath those different buckets. And by the way, probably by the end of 2018, there'll be a fourth column, which is systems that adapt. All right. Now remember your Dr. Seuss as a part of this. Everybody, you know, maybe you've read The Cat in the Hat, but you know, maybe you know, you've seen Thing One and Thing Two. Going on in tandem with this is we are now in a world of things ad infinitum. I wear a Fitbit, I'm sure many of you do. You know, your car is instrumented, medical devices are instrumented. And what happens when that occurs is that you're basically taking the thing and adding AI to it. So whether it's content, whether it's vignettes, scenarios, TV shows, the way that things have been sort of atomized and chopped up in the entertainment industry, like music, you're going to start to see that happen too. And when you do that, it generates digital exhaust around that, what we call at Cognizant the code halo. Here's a great example of sort of looking at this in the aggregate. These are mobile operating systems in New York from literally the 50,000 foot view. The green dots on here are they're Android operating systems. The red dots are, green is Android, red is Apple, so you can sort of see Midtown Manhattan there. And then there's sort of a cluster of purple right in like Midtown Manhattan right there. That's actually BlackBerry devices. So all the people in the financial services industry, you can see, you know, because of security, they're still, you know, holding on pretty tightly to those BlackBerries. Moving on, you know, San Francisco, I live up in Marin. This is our grid system. You can see Uber rides. You get sort of that macro view of what the code halo starts to look like in aggregate. This is popular jogging paths in Boston. And you know, you get this sense of, you know, where people are moving, what paths they like at what certain times of day. Right, we all kind of know this, but what's really cool is in the work ahead, this is Kevin Plank, CEO of Under Armour. You know them as a garment company. But what he's saying is, you know, imagine if you could predict when you're getting sick so you could load up on the right stuff. In 10 years, we'll all be like, can you believe we used to walk around not knowing when we'd get sick? That's crazy, you know? So for that meeting that you got on Friday, you know, cancel it today. I'm gonna have the flu on Friday. But what he's seeing is how his wearable garments will start to, you know, transpose into a world of, you know, Fitbits and wearables, and the garment will be a thing that does predictive and preventative medicine. So there's going to be impact on industries as we know them that will change as a result of digital. Now, where does that leave the humans? So what you see here, and again, forgive me for the folks in the back, but what you see here is we asked those 2,000 executives of all of the skills that humans bring to the table, whether it's analytical thinking, global operating skills, strategic thinking, leadership, innovation, decision making, every single one of those things is in demand, and it remains in demand in the future by 2020. In fact, the average delta between those is about 15%. So you have to be a better human, not a better robot, but a better human by 15%. And what we see happening is that the future of work, this balance is very clear. People are really good at the art of the job. So what's the right thing to do? Machines are excellent at the science of the job. Data analysis, pattern recognition. Based on all statistical evidence, what's the most appropriate next best action, right? A/B testing. So whether you're a cop, a teacher, a studio executive, a nurse, you know, even Sir Richard Branson himself. This is effectively, it's sort of like the Harry Potter sorting hat of our time. Tasks and skills within jobs need to get sorted out. Which ones need to basically take the robot out of the human and help us be better people? And in fact, we wrote the book about this. It's your field guide. It's called What to Do When Machines Do Everything. And my colleague Kathy Abrina has put some cards on everybody's table if you'd like to get a copy of this. And so what we talk about in that book is we don't think this is a robot apocalypse, dystopia, you know, cinematic nightmare of our youth at all. What we see happening is that probably, you know, there will be blood, okay, 12% of jobs as we know them today probably will go in the future, but we think 75% of jobs will actually be enhanced. And we think 13% of jobs will, in fact, be invented, things we can't even think of today. 90% of the conversation today is on the left-hand side of that toe of the bell curve, and we think very quickly 90% of the conversation will be on the right-hand side. I want to give you some cool examples of what we see happening here as I wrap up the next 10 minutes. In the book, you will see an acronym used. It's called the AHEAD model, right? We talked about the work ahead, so it's an acronym. We talked about automating everything you can, like Pac-Man, just chewing through the existing back office and doubling down on true digital change. When you do that, you can digitally transform and wrap a halo around your business and business processes. When you do that, as I showed, right, the net revenue add, $20 trillion global economy, it leads to a world of abundance when you start to enhance businesses. And when that happens, you get into the final phase, which is discovery. And that's where really cool stuff is going to happen. So I'm going to reach back into the annals of history to bring us forward. This is Edwin Budding. He was an Englishman. He invented the lawnmower in 1827. When he did that, he resulted in lawns that were uniformly the same size. He did put out of work a lot of people that, you know, would go out with sickles and scythes and try and do this. But when he developed this, basically, it also happened around the same time as the Industrial Revolution. And so for the first time in humanity, you had kind of this sense of free time. If you've seen Downton Abbey, right, there's the one episode where she says, you know, what's a weekend? So these things happen together at the same time. And around the time that he did this, you started to see the invention of things like cricket, lawn tennis. You saw the invention of things like associated football, SOC. We know it as soccer in this country. Over here you have baseball, right? Football, American football. So the budding effect, if you will, has led to the creation of what is estimated now to be a $620 billion sports industry that would have been very difficult to envision in 1827. Sports are the athletes, yes, it's the coaches, but it's the people that are building stadiums. It's sports marketing people. It's people that are doing advertising around sporting events. It's people that are selling beers in those stadiums. It's a stunning lack of imagination to think that today's technology advances won't have a large-scale budding effect. The list goes on. Electricity gave us telecommunications. This industry, right? Radio, television, the transistor, automobile, gave us suburbia, McDonald's, Walmart, all right? So you can start to see how this is playing out. If history holds, this digital revolution we're going through will create the largest budding effect yet. So when you kind of play out the long game, as we heard from the last presenter, in 2045, we're going to see industries that we don't even foresee in 2017. These guys, right? The ones who started it all, for all of you in the room today, the Lumiere brothers, right? Could they have imagined Iron Man and that whole halo of opportunity that's wrapped around the play for properties like Iron Man or Star Wars or Harry Potter or Game of Thrones? The list goes on and on. Think about it. 6 million jobs and many millions more ancillary jobs in the quote-unquote film business. You know, not just in Hollywood, but, you know, Bollywood, by some estimates, is cranking out like 2,000 films a year. So that's an example of where we've seen the budding effect play out just in this industry. Okay, last 5 minutes. Let's talk about the go forward. Okay, this Pokemon Go, we all saw it last year, but, you know, came out like, wow, that's kind of ridiculous. But you could see it as a watershed moment of like, you know, of course, that's what augmented reality is going to look like. And I was an analyst at Gartner for 18 years, and when we used to talk about cloud computing 20 years ago, everybody thought that was kind of a joke, too. But it's not a joke, right? Think about AWS. It's sort of AWS's world. We all just live in it today. Cloud computing is here. Augmented reality is also out of the lab, and it's coming very quickly. There's a lot of buzzwords about this too, AR, VR, MR, XR, right? But one of the things that's really, really tantalizing and exciting for this industry is being able to express human creativity and this notion of the experience in like fractal level, individualized ways. You see the premonitions with social media. You know, everything that Zuckerberg is talking about in his strategy talks at their events, Tim Cook at Apple, you can see exactly where these guys are going, and all roads lead through augmented reality. It's a great quote that I stole from, it's Brian Eno, but Douglas Eck, who's at Google, talked about this at the MIT MTech Digital Conference this year. Eno said, "Whatever you find now weird, ugly, uncomfortable, and nasty about a new medium will surely become its signature. CD distortion, the jitteriness of digital video, the crap sound of 8-bit, the distorted guitar sound is the sound of something too loud for the medium supposed to carry it. The excitement of grainy film, of bleached out black and white, is the excitement of witnessing events too momentous for the medium assigned to record them." So if you think the notion of people walking around in 2017 with 2-pound headsets on their head is ridiculous, this is moving very, very quickly. And when you play at the future of work in 5 to 10 years, we think it's time to get ready for the experience economy. Center for the Future of Work didn't coin this term, others did. But all of us in this room have grown up in the notion of a services economy. Industrial economy gave way to the services economy, and now we are in the experience economy. You guys in this room are in the catbird seat for making this happen. I've done some work with the USC School of Cinematic Arts on MR. And their point is, you know, everybody that comes out of the school is, you know, not going to be the next Martin Scorsese. But there's a lot of opportunity for driving creative experiences for a lot of that talent. USC is on the cutting edge. Lucasfilm, ILM, X-Lab up in the Presidio in San Francisco. Lots of cool stuff going on. But you could imagine, these are examples. They don't exist today, but you could imagine that we could start to expect, as consumers and as companies, differentiate on very sublime experiences. So just three, I'll throw them out. You know, if you're a Bruce Springsteen fan, imagine if you wanted to be on stage at Madison Square Garden with The Boss and the E Street Band, okay? You could imagine, like, hey, you know, Facebook and Rift, they're gonna make that happen for you. I love Peter Mayle's books. If you ever wanted to know what it might be like to own a French vineyard, same thing. If you wanted to chat with Captain Scott in his hut in Antarctica, right? Think about Airbnb, Rift, working in partnership, setting something like that up. In fact, Airbnb, Brian Chesky, the CEO of Airbnb, is personally driving the next phalanx of their strategy, which is called Airbnb Experience. He is personally driving that. So watch the space. And right now, it's based on city-level experiences. And you can see in a world of AR and VR where he might take that very quickly. So let's think about the future of work, right? Jobs. Think about the notion of AR experience conductors becoming essential to this economy. We all know, you know, from yesteryear, bricklayers, playwrights. Think about people in studios. You could imagine, you know, tomorrow you have UX writers, CX writers. You've got data overlayers in the real world to help bring this about. Wait for it. I'm going to put a plug for our next report, which is coming out in 3 to 4 weeks, and it's called 21 Jobs of the Future. And one of the ones that we've got identified in that report is the AR Journey Builder. So watch this space. So bottom line, just to wrap up, less routine, more strategy. Our survey talked about this with the 2,000 executives. Be more strategic. Jobs and skills will change. Everybody who's in tech in this room, you know, it's going to require greater technological expertise, so that's good. You know, a world of AI, algorithms, and automation is here. But ultimately, we need to make better decisions. And so to bring this home, the moral of the story is, you know, if you shop at the supermarket with the robot checkout aisle, you know, don't be a bad robot. Be a good human being. We can't see the opportunities until these new machines make them possible. Leslie Wilcox, who's a professor at Lund School of Economics, has a great quote. He says, "It's time to take the robot out of the human." And so this book that you've got a card for is again, it's sort of your field guide, what to do when machines do everything. So the bottom line is, you know, don't worry about the T-1000. Chances are we don't need to worry about cyborg Terminators. Maybe said another way, in the words of this guy, Optimus Prime, there is a thin line between being a hero and being a memory. So action is required right now. And like a good science fiction film, whether you like it or not, this is coming soon to a process near you. With that, thank you very much.